Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Judges, chapter 20. Judges, chapter 20. This evening, we're going to cover an incident in the Bible that actually covers 2 to 3 chapters. And so, I'm going to read from verse 11 to about verse 30, or 28, somewhere in there. Okay, so it's going to be kind of a lengthy reading, but we need to get it all. So let's stand. We're, of course, talking about, to kind of set the scene, the children of Israel, or the armies of Israel, are setting themselves in battle array against one of their own tribes, and that is the tribe of Benjamin. And we'll get to the whys and everything a little bit later on. But in verse 11, chapter 20, verse 11, it says, "So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, united together as one man. Then the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribes of Benjamin, saying, 'What is this wickedness that has occurred among you? Now therefore deliver up the men, the perverted men, who are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and remove the evil from Israel.' But the children of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. Instead, the children of Benjamin gathered together from their cities to Gibeah to go to battle against the children of Israel. And from their cities at that time, the children of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men who drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, who numbered 700 select men. Among all this people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Everyone could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. Among all this people were Now, besides Benjamin, the men of Israel numbered 400,000 men who drew the sword. Of all these were men of war. Then the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God to inquire of God. They said, 'Which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin?' And the Lord said, 'Judah first.' So the children of Israel rose in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. The men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel put themselves in battle array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came out of Gibeah, and on that day cut down to the ground 22,000 men of the Israelites. And the people, that is, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves, and again formed the battle line at the place where they had put themselves in array on the first day. Then the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening, and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I again draw near the battle against the children of my brother Benjamin?' And the Lord said, 'Go up against him.' So the children of Israel approached the children of Benjamin on the second day. And Benjamin went out against them from Gibeah on the second day and cut down to the ground 18,000 more of the children of Israel. All these drew the sword. Then all the children of Israel, that is the people, went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, 'Shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease?' And the Lord said, 'Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand.'" And let's stop right there. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look into your word tonight. Now I pray, Lord, that you will teach us. Teach us your ways, that we may know you better, that we may mature from your word and become stronger and more useful in your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Now, I say this long story covers 2.5, 3 chapters. So I'm going to go back to the beginning of the story and tell you what brought us to the point that we just read about, where you had the nation of Israel set in battle array against one of their own, which was the tribe of Benjamin. Now, in the chapter before, there was a certain Levite that was traveling, okay? And he was traveling with his concubine. And actually what had happened, his concubine had ran away from him and went back to her father's house. And so this Levite goes to the father's house to get his concubine. And so they're traveling back to the mountains of Ephraim. And along the way, they stop in a city called Gibeah. In the city, they were sitting in the square, the city square, if you will, and waiting to receive the hospitality of someone, have someone invite them into their home. That was, as we have talked about before, there are no hotels and no Days Inn or Holiday Inn Express in that day. You depended upon the hospitality of people. And so they were sitting there waiting for someone to invite them into their home. And sure enough, an old man, the Bible says, came in from the field. And he invited the Levite and his concubine into his home for the evening. Now, as they were in that home, sometime during the course of the night, it says certain perverted men of the city surrounded the old man's house and beat on the door saying, "Bring out the man who came to your house that we may know him." Just a repeat of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, the word "know" there is, of course, know him in a sexual way. And so the old man came to the door and tried to hold off this horde from getting to the Levite. And he begs them, "Please don't do this evil. Please don't do this. He's a guest in my house. I owe him my protection and my hospitality. Please don't do it. He has a concubine. I have a daughter. We'll send them out to you. Only do not touch this man." And they wouldn't hear of it. But ultimately, what happened was this Levite's concubine got sent out to the crowd. Okay? And the crowd took her, and it says they abused her repeatedly all night long. Even to the point where she, with her last dying effort, makes her way back to the door of the man's house, where she collapses and dies. The next morning, that Levite gets up and comes out of the house and finds his concubine dead at the door. He takes her and gathers her up, puts and carries her back to his home. When he arrives back at home, he does something that's just almost unthinkable in our sight. But when he arrives back home, he cuts up this lady's dead body and he sends a part to all the tribes of Israel. Now, you know, when the rest of the tribes of Israel, when they open their mail and there's a body part in it, they're not happy about it, right? They see this massacre and this mutilated body, and they say, "Who's done this? Surely this man will pay with his life." And so they gather themselves to go against this Levite, and they come to this Levite's home, and they're ready to kill him. And the Levite explains, says, "Whoa, let me tell you what happened." He tells them a story of how he was in the city of Gibeah. They had abused his concubine and even to the point of death. And so it makes the rest of the tribe of Israel angry. Or the nation of Israel. It makes them angry. And they decide, "Well, we're going to go up against the city of Gibeah and against the tribe of Benjamin." Because that's who the people were that had caused this abuse and this problem. Now, they go up to the tribe of Benjamin and they demand. They say, "Send out these men who are responsible for this heinous action, this hideous crime. You send them out so that we may kill them and remove this evil from the nation of Israel." Well, the Benjamites, they say, "No. No. You're not going. We're not going to send them out to you." So, of course, you have the whole nation of Israel that's gathered, and the nation, the one tribe of Benjamin that's against them. And this looks like it's going to be a slaughter. All right? As a matter of fact, in reading, we find where the men of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men. And the nation of Israel that had gathered against them numbered 400,000 men. This was sure to be over before it even began. No contest. So in our reading, in verse 18, it says, Israel inquired of God, and God directed them to send the tribe of Judah against them first. Now, the tribe of Judah goes out with every confidence. We're going to go out. We're going to stamp this problem right where it is, and it's going to be done. So the tribe of Judah goes out to battle against the tribe of Benjamin. And they, during the course of that battle, 22,000 men of the tribe of Judah died. They were defeated soundly. It was no contest. There was no question. They were whipped. And it said, the men of Israel wept and went before the Lord and wept and asked, Lord, do we go against them again? And the Lord said, go up against them. So the second day they went out and they go against the tribe of Benjamin. And the second day they did a lot better. Only 18,000 of them died on the second day. I was being facetious there. They didn't do better. But 18,000 of the army of Israel died on that second day. And it broke their heart. Twice they've inquired of the Lord, Lord, what do we do? God says, go up and face them in battle. They respond to the Lord. They go up and they face them in battle. And twice now they've been soundly defeated. So the third time, I love the way they put it in verse 28. Read there with me if you would again. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before the ark in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease? I find that last line interesting. Shall I cease? They hadn't mentioned that up to this point, but you kind of get the idea that they're suggesting, Lord, now this is the third time, and we're coming up, and we're coming to you, and I know you probably hadn't thought this, but maybe we better just cut our losses and run. And go home and forget about it. And God says in verse 28, you go up. For tomorrow I will deliver them into your hands. And then in verse 43, we find that Israel was indeed given the victory. And Benjamin was delivered into their hands. And 18,000 men of Benjamin fell in that day, in verse 44, on that third day. All these were men of valor. Now, long story. Took me forever to get there, right? But I want to stop and I want to think about it. Because the first thought that comes to my mind is here you had the nation of Israel doing what God told them to do. They were trying to deliver the land from evil. You know, get evil, this nasty parasite out of their land. And twice they go up against the tribe of Benjamin, and twice they are soundly defeated. And I don't know about you, but the question that comes to my mind is why? I mean, isn't God supposed to give us the victory? When we're doing what's right and we pray and we go before God and we have conviction and we're led, I mean, we're just supposed to basically show up and God is supposed to hand the enemy into our grasp, is he not? Well, no. That's not the way that it usually works. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Most of the time, we don't realize that we think everything's supposed to be easy and we're always supposed to have the victory. That's not the way it goes. Do you realize you cannot have victory without a battle? You cannot. As I look here, the thought that came to my mind, I wonder when God said in verse 28, "Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand." I wonder how many people have quit before they got to tomorrow. How many people have quit one day early because it got difficult, and so they quit before tomorrow gets here, and they never see the victory. They had conviction, they had God's direction, but somewhere along the way it just got a little bit too difficult for them. And you're like, it's kind of like I said in verse 28, "Lord, let me just, you probably hadn't thought of this, but maybe it's time I quit." No! This morning I preached that we're supposed to be gate crashers, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of God, and that is true. But don't expect them to fall down. Yeah, it is a difficult work. It is hard to be consistent day in and day out. And sometimes it seems like we're fighting the battle every day and we're not getting anywhere. Do not quit. You still serve the God that will deliver you and provide you the victory. I wonder how many people have quit one day too soon. When tomorrow God had it in His plan to give the victory, but they got discouraged, so they never made it to tomorrow. I wonder how many people never saw victory because it got too hard. As I said before, most Christians really think that if we're doing what's right, the world should immediately fall at our feet and victory should be ours, no questions asked. That's not the way it works. Tonight, I want to remind you, it's not easy. As a matter of fact, it's seldom easy. Did you know I have quit as a preacher? There's been times in ministry I've quit. I just praise the Lord. He didn't let me stay quit. You know? He wouldn't allow me to... It's hard to explain. But I couldn't quit. I couldn't quit. That's my prayer for you. Is that when life gets too hard, it never gets so hard that God allows you to quit. May He stir your spirit to the point where you will just explode if you don't get up and do what God calls you to do.
Amen.
You know? Just because it's hard. Listen, just because it's hard does not mean that God is not with you. It doesn't. As a matter of fact, everywhere in the Bible, it was hard. The children of Israel, when God said, "Look at this land I'm giving you," they didn't just walk in and the Philistines and the Canaanites and everybody that was in the land just run from them. No, they had to fight. It was hard. It's hard today sometimes. Sometimes as teachers, it's hard to teach that class every week, and sometimes you get discouraged because people don't show up and you put all the effort into it. That's all right. Don't quit. I was thinking, let's be honest. We think it's supposed to be easy as long as we're doing what's right, but there's nothing scriptural about that. Oh, Lord, if I'm supposed to do that, why is it so hard? Because there's a battle going on. You know, I look at the Apostle Paul, and if you think it's supposed to be easy because you're serving God, you're wrong. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul is describing his life, and I want to read that to you, okay? Paul says, "Here's what I've been through. As ministers of Christ, I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in death often." He's talking about how he compares to other ministers. He says, from Jews, five times I've received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold, in nakedness, and besides other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for the churches. Paul's saying, it's tough. I've been through the ringer. But you know what Paul told Timothy? Paul told Timothy when he's coming to the end of his ministry, he said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. He never quit. He never backed up. He never gave up. He also wrote 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Paul knew that victory was coming. And that's what, you know, I want to remind you, I don't know where you are in life. I don't know what you're going through in life. But you can't give up. You can't back up. You can't quit. I wonder how many people have never saw victory because the price, the cost was too high. You know, you're looking at here, thousands of men lost their lives that they might remove that Israel, or remove that evil from the nation of Israel, verse 13. Thousands of people died. I wonder if there was somebody who said, it's not worth it. You know, if you're doing the work of the Lord, it is worth it. And there is a price to be paid. For every battle, for every victory. You will not have a victory that costs you nothing. We know that we are who we are and we are what we are by the mighty hand of God. But we also know that we are what we are because of the sacrifices that have been made through the years. You look at men like the Apostle Paul, who literally poured himself out as a drink offering before the Lord. I mean, he sacrificed it all. The 11 disciples, the 11 apostles, poured themselves out before the Lord. They gave their all. Victory Baptist Church. I love this church. You love this church? I mean, God is blessing and He's doing great things. But you know what? We are reaping the labors of those that have come before us. I'm not so much to think that victory is what it is because of this pastor. It's not. Old Danny Fudge that was before me, he did a great job. Old Brother Ron Ballard that was back at the start of the church, he did a great job. And there's been several that have been planning and laboring along the way and sacrificing so that victory could be the church that she is today. And not just pastors. There's been teachers. There have been servants, faithful servants that have served through the years quietly, not wanting attention drawn to themselves, but giving of themselves. Generous offerings, talents given, time giving. All because they thought it was worth it. It was worth it. Well, I want to tell you something. The kingdom of God is worth it. Okay? It is worth it. Oh, listen, I want to encourage you tonight. And I want you to take this message and realize we can't quit. We cannot quit. You cannot quit. Well, I guess you can, but you'll never see victory if you quit. Don't quit a day early. Don't quit because it gets hard. Don't quit because the price is so high. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave His everything upon the cross of Calvary so that you and I could have eternal life. And there's one thing that you can say about our Savior. He never quit. Never. It may be tough. There may be setbacks. There may be defeats. There you may go out and the first time God does give you victory. But let me tell you something. It's worth everything that we have to endure to see the kingdom of God prosper because of your ministry and because of mine. May we ever be faithful, never backing up and never backing down, even when it is hard. You may be here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friends, I beg you, don't walk out of here lost. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. Have you received that gift? You know, we just enjoyed Christmas. One of the joys of Christmas is exchanging gifts. And for kids, it's always fun and exciting. And you know, the older you get, the less wound up you become about Christmas gifts. But I want to tell you something. The greatest gift ever given was the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God loved you so much that He gave His only Son, Jesus, to be hanged on a cross as the sacrifice for your sin. Are you a child of God? If not, this invitation is for you. Will you receive that gift of salvation that Jesus bought, paid for upon the cross of Calvary? Will you come? Maybe you're here tonight, you're fighting a battle, and that battle's getting overwhelming, and the thought has crossed your mind, maybe I just need to quit. Oh, no, 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 no. No, you keep ministering. You keep pressing toward the mark. You don't let Satan have victory. You be consistent. You be committed. And you stick with what God has called you to do. And you will come to the point. God will not forsake you. He will bring the victory in His own time. It may be the first day. It may be the second day. It may be the third day. It may be the tenth day. But God's work is worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for Your Word and the opportunity to look into Your Word and learn of You. And Lord, may we be faithful. Sometimes we do become discouraged because it gets hard. Sometimes we get to think, why do I do it? And the reality is we do it because we love You. Lord, I pray You would encourage every heart present tonight. Help us to realize that indeed it is worth it to lay up treasures in heaven that'll never be taken away, where moths can't corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But Lord, Your kingdom, Your work is worth the effort. It is worth the battle. It is worth whatever it takes. Lord, glorify Your name in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.